This is Digital Story Podcast number 616, January 2nd, 2018. Today's theme is Pick One from Each. I'm Derek Story. We spend a lot of time discussing the art and science of photography, as we should. This is our chosen craft, right? But to be truly effective as an artist, we need to address issues beyond aperture settings and sensor size. I've identified five key areas that I think can help us become more efficient and effective in 2018. And as a result, better content creators as well. So welcome to 2018. That's right. You know, there's something special about the beginning of a new year. Not so much that it's a chance for a do-over, but maybe a chance for a do-better. And that's kind of where my head's at right now. I'm thinking about how can I be more effective in 2018. Now, a lot of us, myself included, had a rough 2017. We took a lot of shots of life. Wasn't always kind last year, and that's okay. That's the way life is, right? But I'm thinking, okay, kind of learned a lot of things through that process. I feel like I'm a little tougher, a little smarter, and that I can apply some of that to 2018 and, you know, really get back on track in the direction that I want to be going. So I have five areas that I've identified get me going in that direction, and I'm going to share them with you. Now, these areas are definitely slanted toward photographers. That's okay. That's what we do, right? But with a few tweaks, they could be applied to just about any creative endeavor. Now, one thing I will say about these five is that each needs to be accomplished before the end of 2018. So it's not so much like New Year's resolutions or anything. I'm just saying that I think this five is a group. And then within each one of these five, I'm going to offer some suggestions and then thinking, well, let's pick one from each of these five. And then as a collective unit, what we pick for these five things, I think will just sort of round us out and have a great 2018. Let's take a look at them and see what you think. The first one is create a new revenue stream. And you're probably thinking, well, Derek, I have a job. Or, hey, I'm retired. I don't need to worry about that anymore. And I'm thinking I'm going to ask you to revisit that for a couple reasons. First of all, things change quickly. And here's the way that change works in this particular area, in the area of finance, shall we say, is that revenue streams end in a moment's notice. I mean, they just boom, end like that. You're called into an office, you're gone, right? That sort of thing. But to create new revenue streams takes a fair amount of time, really. So it's the sort of thing that, well, you know, a flood can come through and wash out a crop just like that. But in order to have the crop in the first place, that takes weeks and months. And that's kind of what I'm thinking here. There's more to it than just the revenue stream. I think that having a revenue stream going, or you know, you're working on one, is a great, not protection so much, but a little bit of insurance toward, you know, what may happen up the road. Now, here's the way that you can't lose on this deal, because if nothing happens, you have an additional revenue stream that you can use for equipment and for experiences and so forth. And if something does happen to your primary revenue stream, you already have something in the works, right? You're not starting from a cold start. There's really no way to lose around this. Now, the other thing that I will say about creating a new revenue stream is an opportunity to explore something that you really love. Because for a lot of folks, this is something that might not be absolutely necessary right now. So instead of the job that you have or had that was sort of thrust upon you, right? I mean, you took this job and it led to that job and you got promoted here. And the next thing you know, you're doing something that maybe you're not totally crazy about. This is an opportunity to actually work towards something that you absolutely love. Now, I'll give you an example. A while back, I started something called the Film Camera Shop. You've heard me talk about it. It's on Etsy. which I just love partnering with that company. I think they're a great company. And I decided that as I got back into film, that I wanted to experiment with a lot of cameras. And then when I was done working with a particular camera, I wanted to move it on to someone else that would use it. And then on top of that, I like fixing things. I like repairing cameras. I like making something that looks kind of old and tarnished, bright and shiny. So I thought, not only can I move it along, but I can improve it, restore it, bring it back to life, and then let someone else enjoy that. Not only having a traditional film camera, which is just a blast to have, but having one that looks really nice. And so I said, I'm going to start this film camera shop so that I can keep moving cameras through my work, because I've been working on a film camera project for the longest time now. And then, you know, share the love with other people. And it just turned out to be this wonderful thing. I love working on the cameras. I use it as a break from recording and writing and things like that. I love running the shop. You know, I've always kind of wanted to have a camera store anyway, and now thanks to the online world, I can do that. And then I just really love the joy that it brings people when they receive it and they start using it. So all the way around has been terrific. But on top of all of that, there have been months in 2017, which, as I mentioned earlier, was not a fun year for me. There have been months where suddenly a bill comes out of nowhere and I'm going, how am I going to pay this? I don't want to take money out of emergency savings to pay an internet bill or something like that. And then I looked over here and I had $230 coming in this week from the film camera shop, and I could pay that bill. And that happened over and over again. I'm just going, this is really cool. Not only am I doing something that I really like, it's actually helping me out financially. Now, could I grow it into a full-time job? Probably not. But that isn't its intention. That isn't what I need it to do. I just need something or want something to augment what I'm already doing. So those are the kind of things that I'm talking about with creating a new revenue stream. Not only is it something that gives you a little bit more capital to work with, but it's something that is truly fulfilling and that you love. And I think this day and age, I really feel like in 2018, that many of us have to have more than one thing going. I think that's just the way it is now. You know, the idea of having 40-hour a week job and then going home and watching TV and falling asleep in front of it, I think those days are over for people like us anyway, who are creative types who want a little bit more out of life. So yes, item number one, I think that you should look at creating a new revenue stream for 2018. I make that something that's super important for me to do every year. Last year it was the Nimble Classroom. Year before is the film camera shop. Every year I want to make sure that I create something new. So far, I just have to say, it has been nothing but good working on that particular area. Item number two, experiences over things. And this has been something that has actually been a conversation with my boys, who are juniors in college right now, with their friends, with family members. This is something that has just come up a lot, experiences over things. Now, the idea here is that the spending money that we have, right, disposable income, whatever you want to call it, is used more for doing stuff than for acquiring stuff. So now I'll discuss new gear in a moment, because I'm not anti-gear at all. You know that about me. But I'm talking more about using our resources to facilitate experiences. By doing these experiences, sort of creates an energy that can fuel us in just about every area of our life. So I'm suggesting things like workshops. One of the things that I'm trying to offer to our audience, because I believe so much in them. I believe that workshops are a vital part of the photography experience. So workshops, social groups, And when I say social groups, I mean those that you see people in person, not online social groups, but social groups that are in person. Personal projects, right? So you're investing in this experience as a personal project that maybe takes you out of your weekly rut and, you know, kind of gets you out doing something else. That probably requires some money to do that, but it's an investment in your growth. A camera buddy. That's another one. I haven't talked about this for a while, but having someone that you go out and shoot with and that you share your photography experiences with. Someone that cares about photography in the way that you do. And it could be even day trips. You just say, I'm going to do one day trip every month. I'm going to take a Sunday or a Saturday, or I'm going to take a day off, a PTO day from work, and I'm going to take a day trip up to the Redwoods, out to the shore, to the desert, to a museum. It could be so many different things. But the idea of using what money we have, the disposable money that we have, to invest in experiences, this, I think, just fuels us. It fuels our creative process. It opens our eyes to the world. It causes interactions. There's just so many things that come out of this. And I think it's a really great investment. And so picking a few experiences and just getting them on the calendar pay dividends. I honestly do, in so many different ways. Fix or improve one valuable relationship. I know this one probably surprises you a bit that it's on my list, but I do think it's a key player in this overall pick one of each idea. So unfortunately, people in our lives, they often become collateral damage when bad things happen to us. And I'm not saying that we're wrong or bad people because this happens, because what happens is we become consumed in a problem or a challenge or something, and we really have to focus on that, and then suddenly we don't have as much time for the people that we normally spend time with. And as a result, these relationships could be damaged, feelings could be hurt, all sorts of stuff can happen. So when we have time after we've survived the crisis or gotten through whatever the big change was, then I think we have to remember to go back and try to repair or improve these relationships. And so what I'm suggesting for 2018 is pick one. Pick a relationship that you can just improve. Maybe you don't have one that needs to be repaired. Pick one that you can improve. And I mean, that could be anything. It could be your best friend. That could be your husband, your wife. It could be a relative. It could be with your parents. It could be any number of people in your life that maybe in 2017, you just didn't do as good a job as you could have done with them. You just didn't give them as much energy and attention as they deserve. By repairing or improving a relationship, something magical will happen to you in that you will feel lighter. You will feel better. You will feel like a better person. By you making this effort, in all honesty, you reap most of the reward. And not that we're not a catch for all these other people that we are trying to befriend or stay close to. But I think that this is something that we're really doing for ourselves, if we were to be totally honest about it. Unlike the situation that a lot of times causes the damage in the first place, which is a bad thing happens and then people in our lives become collateral damage. In this sense, now we're doing something good for ourselves and these people become collateral beneficiaries. I think relationships and, you know, the friends and family and folks in our lives that we have determined are important to us, we need to focus on those. And I think 2018 feels like a good year for us to do that, for us to sort of say, hey, you know, you're important to me and I'm going to put more energy into our relationship. And I think it'll be good for both of us. And I think that you'll be surprised how this helps your art and every other area of your life. Okay, number four, decide what equipment you need to move forward. What I'm saying is, think about this now. A lot of times the way that we purchase equipment is that we're tempted by the latest new thing. So something new comes along and we look at it and go, oh man, I want that. Then suddenly it goes to the top of the list. Possibly we pull out our credit card, we purchase it, then we've made our investment. I mean, if you have the disposable income, then that's okay, right? However, I don't want you to do this instead of spending the money on something that can really help your craft. I'll give you an example. When I started the Nimble Classroom last year, I had to buy some equipment. I had to make sure that I had my audio set up. I had to get a video link so that I could do live action as well as screen. I had to get some new software and all that. And I made that investment. It worked pretty well, I have to say. I mean, I thought our first season with Nimble Classroom went really well. However, I was using an existing computer that I had, and it was a laptop. And one of the things that I learned when I wanted to use Camlink was that it needed a 4-core processor in order to, you know, have enough processing power to do this live action feed with my camera. So then that suddenly, you know, limited me to just one computer that was a number of years old. And it stressed that computer, I have to say. You know, the fans were going on, and, you know, there were times when I kind of felt like when I was teaching the class, I was going, man, I hope everything holds together here. And it wasn't a good feeling. It was distracting. So as I look at what I'm going to be doing this year, I'm doing Nimble Classroom series again, because I mean, this is something that I think is a really good idea and that's going to continue to grow. So I have to make an investment in a new computer for that project, a computer that can handle live action and screen capture and big apps and audio and all this stuff at once, and do it with ease without the fans going 100 miles an hour. So I'm going to invest in a new iMac. I'm going to step away from laptops. I'm going to invest in a new iMac. It's going to have enough beef and brawn to handle this. And then that will allow me to move forward with the Nimble Classroom series. Now, do I necessarily want to go out and buy a new iMac right now instead of a camera or a lens? Well, I don't. I don't. Just like I don't like buying new tires for the car sometimes. But I really think that this is an investment that I need to make for my business and for my sanity at some point. I don't want to have a Nimble Class crash in the middle of a session. I want this to be stable and I want to focus on my teaching. So I'm going to make that investment. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Deciding what you need gear-wise to really move forward in the area. So you want to look for the soft spots. You want to identify them in what you're doing, and then you want to shore those up and use the money. Now, if you have money left over after that, yes, go ahead and buy a new camera, buy a new lens, you know, whatever you want. But objectively, try to identify now the stuff that's really going to help you do a better job as an artist and a creator this year. And the last one, number 5, improve your physical well-being. This is something that I think at the end of the day is energy. We need energy in order to do the things that I'm talking about. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes us bad artists. Fatigue does not serve us in any beneficial way that I can think of. We want to raise our energy so that we have enough energy to create and execute and interact and be a part of what's going on. And one of the best ways to increase your energy is to improve your physical well-being. And the nice thing about it is that I'm not talking about dedicating hours every day to working out and all that sort of stuff. It can be something as simple as this. This is one of the adjustments that I made in 2017, which is I get up a little bit earlier every morning and I work out for 20 minutes. So it can either be riding the stationary bike, can be taking a brisk walk. One of those two things for me, and it really depends on the weather. Like if it's really freaking cold outside, I'm on the bike in the garage, okay? But something that's a good workout for 20 minutes. And then all I have to do some point during the day is get another 15 minutes in. You know, I want to have a dedicated half an hour. And so usually that second 15 minutes comes for me. And this is how things can hook together. So I'm running the film camera shop, as you know. The orders come in. I try to turn those orders around right away. You know, having great service, I think, is an important part of the shop. So that night, I review the orders that have come in. And then I think about, okay, I can do those, let's say, between 8 and 9 tomorrow morning. So then at 8, I fulfill the orders. About 8:30, I get on my bike, and I have the orders, you know, in a messenger bag, and I ride over to the post office. I have a working relationship with the post office because they see me all the time. Drop the packages off, get on my bike, and ride back to the studio. So that whole process takes only about 15 or 20 minutes. So I've got the walk in first thing in the morning, and then I've done something, I've created something that gives me that extra 15 minutes or so. Now, I could get in the car and drive over to the post office, but I'd rather do two things at once. I'd rather make that delivery, and I'd like to get some exercise. So by doing that, I really feel that my energy has gone up. I feel like I can stay up later at night if I need to. I feel like I'm more focused during the day. You know, all that kind of stuff. The other thing is drinking water. Oh my gosh. Drinking water, in addition to, you know, adding a little bit more physical activity, is so beneficial. And then, of course, you know, watching our diet. And, you know, everyone has their own theories on, you know, what makes a good diet. So you probably have yours. You probably know what to do. And then it's just a matter of, you know, executing. But improving your physical well-being gives us energy to do these other things that I've talked about. And energy is so important to being effective in this day and age. You know, in 2018, we need energy. We do. We need personal energy, because if we don't have it, those that we're competing with and interacting with do have it. And those are the ones that, you know, we need to either hang with, or if we want to, you know, try to kind of slip ahead of them a little bit. So those are the five things that I recommend that you figure out in each of those five categories, one thing that you can do this year, and then do it. Make it happen. Make it happen. Now, we can compare notes at the end of 2018, see what sort of results came from all this. I'm feeling pretty confident that they're going to be positive. And I'm also feeling that if 2018 turns out to be a tough year again, as 2017 was, then we will be even more ready this year for those challenges than we were last year. Update your camera metadata. All right, so I saw a tweet on this, and I go, man, you know, I should bring this up on the show. So, 2018, there are a few things that we should probably do tonight, right? One of them is all your cameras that you have copyright imprinting on, and I hope you have copyright imprinting set up on every camera that can accept it. And what that means is that every time you take a picture, the camera writes to the IPTC metadata, to the file, you know, copyright 2018 Derek Story. And the way that a lot of us do it is we do parentheses, C, lowercase c, closed parentheses, 2018, and then our name. That way you have your name on every picture that you take. And if you don't go through your normal workflow process, you still have your name on that image. But it's probably time to update that, right? Because all my cameras say 2017, and I want to update it to 2018. So I need to do that. I need to update my Capture One Pro metadata templates that I apply on import so that it says copyright 2018 there also. And then I probably should check the timestamps on all my cameras and devices so that everything is in sync. This is a great time to do all of that. It doesn't take that much effort. I mean, really, we can sit down on the couch with, I mean, it gives us a chance to play with our gear. How could that be bad, right? So tonight, get your toys out, spread them out on the table, tell your partner, your husband, or your wife that you're doing some very important things right now, and it won't take long. Fire up the TV and get all this stuff updated, and then we're ready to rock and roll. the 2018 Nimble Classroom Series. I mentioned this earlier in the show. We're starting in February. Yes, I know. All this stuff just like, boom, just keeps going, right? So our 2018 Nimble Classroom Series starts in February. And I would just want to tell you the first three sessions that we're offering this year. And they're available right now. I mean, you can just go to the link in the show notes, or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on class, or you can go to the workshops page on the digital story, scroll down to the end of the page. Nimble Classroom Series is listed there. You should be able to get to it. And if you can't find it, send me an email and I will send you the link. Alrighty. Anyway, all of these three that I'm going to mention right now, they're open and they're ready for signups. In fact, I just received a signup last night. I know it's working. So here we go. In February, we're going to do Layers in Capture One Pro 11. So Layers is the big deal in Capture One Pro 11. That's our Nimble Classroom on February 10th for Capture One Pro users, Layers. And then in March, on March 10th, we're going to do Build Your Digital Darkroom with Photos. And again, a lot of improvement has happened in editing extensions. We now have Edit With that allows us to round trip to any application that we want. Then looking at photos as sort of our home base and all the improvements they've made to the app itself. And then bringing in these different editing extensions and really customizing the workflow for this application so that we can use any tools that we want. This is really exciting stuff. And I thought this deserves some attention. So that's going to be our March classroom, building your own digital darkroom with photos. And then in April, yes, we're going to do digital asset management with Luminar because the digital asset manager will be out by then. So not only will we talk about the new additions to Luminar in general, but we'll really say, okay, can we use Luminar to manage our photos as well as edit them? And if we do, what are the best practices for doing that? And that's going to be our April class. So all three of these classes are available right now. Just click on the link in the show notes. Go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on class there, or go to the workshops page and scroll down to the bottom. Either way, get over there. I limit each class to 6 people. It's because we have interactions and so forth during class. You can submit questions before class starts, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I wanted to have, you know, the same intimate vibe that we have in our physical workshops. I want to make the online experience more real, you know, in terms of human interaction and in terms of communication and so forth. So anyway, so those start in February. I hope to see you in a Nimble class this year. These are great things. And remember, you get all the videos for the whole class after it's over too. So that's a nice bonus. Alrighty, I have a few updates for you. And speaking of training videos, guess what I just uploaded for our Patreon Inner Circle members? 3. I told you I would do 3, and I did it. They're waiting for you right now. If you're an Inner Circle member, then you should have received email about these 3. For the rest of the folks, here's what the Inner Circle members have to look at this month. Tips for importing images and photos for Mac OS. Yes, the import process has changed a bit with photos for Mac OS High Sierra. We have some new options, and I cover that. And I also cover iCloud connectivity in this. So that's available right now. Using gradient mask in Luminar. That's the second one. Oh my gosh. If you're a Luminar user, you definitely need to see that video. It is so cool. So powerful. It'll make you love Luminar. I'm telling you right now. You'll go, oh my gosh. I love this application. That's available. And then for Capture One Pro users, I have working with light adjustments in Capture One Pro. Light and color are the two really strong areas of Capture One Pro in terms of image editing. And we just really get into the light panel with all those tools. Terminology is a little different in Capture One Pro. So if you're coming from Lightroom, I think this will be a really helpful video. For example, you know, what Capture One Pro calls high dynamic range, I think that's a bit of a misnomer. Really, it's highlights and shadows adjustment. It's that kind of stuff, alrighty? So all three of those videos are waiting right now for our Inner Circle members. To become an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on any page of the Digital Story and make sure that you're contributing $5 a month, which is that's sort of what we recommend. $5 a month enters you automatically into the Inner Circle and you receive all the benefits, primarily of which in 2018 are training videos every month. There's also a link in the show notes. If you happen to be at the show notes, you can just click there. And a big thanks to all of our Patreon members for helping us support this overall endeavor. You know, all this stuff I'm talking about, ranging from the nimble photographer to the film camera shop to the physical workshops to the online classroom series to the weekly podcast to the daily posts, all that stuff. You know, this is one big push that I'm doing, and you're helping me with that push by contributing every month. And finally, I want to thank our friends, our dear friends at Red River Paper. Looks like we have another year with them supporting us, our longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. Love these guys. So thrilled about the printing I did during the holiday season. I thought that my holiday card for this year was one of my best ones. It just felt good to have these physical cards with my work on them and for me to be able to give those to folks that maybe I couldn't even give a gift to, I could give a card to. So Red River Paper, they're my inspiration for all of this. You know, they provided the cardstock and the motivation for me to do this. And I just really thank them for not only being sponsors, but for helping to keep me energized so that I keep printing, because I think printing is important when you're a photographer. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that is going to do it for me this week. Next week, we will be back on regular schedule. Thank you for bearing with me for the last 2 weeks. When the holidays are on Monday, you know, the big holidays with the day before and then the holiday and all that, I just said, you know what, this year I'm going to be present. I'm going to be in the moment. And everyone will understand if I get to the podcast to you in the afternoon instead of the morning. Thank you for being patient with me. But next week, it'll be posted at its regular time. And also next week, I'm going to be in Las Vegas for CES. So there's going to be some recording that comes out of there as well. Lots to do in 2018. Let's get our energy up. Let's get moving in the right direction. Let's be positive. Let's do the things that keep us positive so that we can not only help ourselves, but help those around us. Alrighty, see you next week. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.